This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for another Farmers Appreciation Month report here on this Friday. Cal Brazzi is a part of the agronomy team with CHS, and he's based out of their Pocahontas location. But he does a lot more than just stick around western Bond County.
No, we spend a lot of time working. The majority of the guys that I call are in the kind of centralized in the Madison County area. And I farm with my brother and cousin here in this same area, too, but certainly get all over the area.
Of course, this is Farmers Appreciation Month, and last year, however, wasn't that much of a farming season to appreciate at all. What did you see out there when it came to maybe your own operation or just others that you've worked with? What did they have to deal with in 2019? Obviously, rain was the big elephant in the room, but what were some of those things that 2019 brought to the table?
You know, you have to start with the rain and the weather, and we think about what we went into and when we were planting the majority of the corn in the area, probably the last week of May, right up until June 5th, and maybe even some after that. We were expecting, you know, Gabe, 150, 160 bushel corn and thought we'd be really happy with that. So I guess the biggest takeaway we have is you never know exactly what the year's going to turn out like. When we end up with 150% of our normal rainfall right here in this central Madison County area, we had yields far above that and kind of rivaled some of our top years. So, you know, I know a few farms that we work with had record-setting years on corn and beans, and if you weren't, you were probably in your top two or three. So definitely surprised by the way we could compensate for that late planting, and, of course, it turned into everything else being late through that into the fall, late harvest, and then pushed our wheat planting a little bit later, too, in some of the cases where we were wanting to get that done quicker.
And of course, you say there, you know, some people had some of their best years, although of all the rain and delayed planting. And I guess it doesn't really matter what hybrid your choice is. Do you think just across the board, no matter if you plant any of the different brands of hybrids, do you think just because the technology in agriculture is just so great right now that that could be attributed to those higher yields?
I think genetics has a lot to do with it. So as we see improvements in ISO lines, I still see differences across companies. So I'm a Pioneer rep and spend a lot of time with the Corteva products, but I can definitely see trends in all of the companies where we see better products, Gabe. You know, I don't know exactly whether it's all genetic rate of gain. It's hard to make up for that amount of weather difference, too. So, but we see differences in products and placement, and if you're spending time working with somebody who understands the products that they sell, helps you put them on the right fields, right acres, and then right now, kind of understanding the seed technologies and trait segments is a big part of that business too, and something that we're still discussing with a bunch of farmers today to try to decide, you know, what technology segments are going to fit right in what areas and which ones are actually usable, and whether or not you need to spend extra money for them. It's a very big part of our business right now.
Getting into that part of the business, of course, you represent CHS, one of the many different co-op type businesses in the local area. When it comes to CHS, I guess a good question would be, what's unique about CHS when it comes to being a cooperative kind of effort? You know, there's a lot of different companies, but why would you recommend CHS?
You know, there's a couple of things I think that come to mind, and CHS has put together a team of people to help us pretty much accomplish all of these tasks that we have in front of us. So whether it's precision fertilizer suggestions, you know, changing those algorithms, making the adjustments to exactly what each farm wants it to be, and automating that process with a guy like Joe Huebner at our company, you know, those are pieces we couldn't do very well 10 years ago. It required a ton of back work and you know, hours and hours in front of the computer to make it do what we wanted it to do. We've really gotten good at some of those pieces. I guess another big thing I think about our company is that so many of the people are so focused on agriculture, you can just see they wear it on their sleeves. When they walk in and out of a place, it's what they dream about, talk about. They love so much about what's going on out here in the countryside, and they put the farmer first. So if I have a customer, whether he's got 5 acres or 50,000, you know, proportionately, it means the same to everybody. And when that person's asking us a question, any person in our company, we take it serious. And we do the best we can to make sure we answer those questions. And I'd love to say that we always get it exactly right, but the truth is we learn as we go, too.
And really, when it comes to farming and agriculture, I'm sure anybody would say that it is kind of a learning experience, and it's kind of a day-to-day type experience, too. Just as we said, 2019 was hopefully a fluke year, a one in a thousand year type of years, but 2019 had to be that year that kind of proved that, well, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, kind of a make-or-break year.
Yeah, and what was a disaster on one farm could be complete success on another. So, you know, it's a constant process of adapting those plans, making sure that they're fluid enough and that we can handle whatever work gets set up in front of us.
You know, 2019 always seems to be the topic, but, you know, a lot of people would like to put that behind us. Now that we are in 2020, and before we know it, we'll be back in the field putting in another crop for another year. What are some things that you guys at CHS are looking at or just hoping for the new planting season here in 2020?
Right now, the kind of the first focus that I have to work on is thinking about the wheat fields and what's going on in some of those. So we want to, as soon as we can think about where we're going to warm up, break some dormancy and get this wheat going, we need to make sure we're evaluating stands, trying to decide if we need to split some nitrogen applications, getting a good idea for what kind of winter annuals or wheat came through those fields, and so we can address all those issues first. At the same time, we're talking about guys with seed treatments, seed deliveries, pooling orders, making sure that we have everything in place so the first day a farmer can hit the field, that we can have a tractor in the field, that nothing is going to stop that process from happening. So that's probably the top thing right now. And then still talking through, you know, some of those technology segments and stuff, making sure that they understand the differences, that we all understand the differences between the different segments and traits and soybeans and corn and what it takes to be successful with whatever avenue of technology trait segments you're on.
And, of course, you mentioned wheat there. Right now, this winter has kind of been back and forth. At the moment, it's pretty cold and there's snow on the ground, but, you know, in 2 days later, it could be 50 and muddy. Are you seeing, at least in Madison County, kind of being a bigger wheat-growing area, are you seeing that the lack of snow cover and the lack of a frozen ground, is that hurting the wheat a little bit, or having the ability of not having frozen ground kind of keeping the dormancy about normal where it has been?
It's too early for me to answer the question. What I can say is that we came in through the fall and into the early winter thinking we didn't have enough growth on a lot of wheat fields. We were worried about some stands, you know, and we're kind of on the northern edge of where wheat really takes off. As you move south from us, the soft reds, winter wheat, there's a lot more acres of it. You know, we were worried about some of those stands where we're at right here. But the wheat, I think, did more growing through the few weeks of January. There, we had some nice weather. It really kind of looked like it started to bush out, to tiller out a little bit. Whether or not it actually did that or just had some more vegetative growth on the plants that were there that made it appear that way to us. But I don't feel too bad about it as I see it today. But I do know that there's some thin spots out there. And definitely some fields that we're going to make some recommendations of splitting some nitrogen on early, trying to get those tiller counts up to where we can maximize yield potential on those fields.
Moving into 2020, as we said, anything that you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover or anything that's on your mind that you'd like everybody to know about the company or just agriculture in general?
We're here to answer questions and be a partner on any farm that would allow us the opportunity or privilege to do that. So if you have questions and you call the company, you can ask for any sales guy, and don't be afraid to call us and put us to work for you as part of your farming team.
Again, that was Kyle Brazzi. He's a part of the agronomy team with CHS based out of Pocahontas. And that'll wrap up today's Farmers Appreciation Month report, and we'll take a break for the weekend, but we'll be back on Monday with more reports in the world of agriculture. Next week's big topic, National FFA Week. Reporting on this Valentine's Day, this has been Ag Director Gabe Osborne for WSMI.